We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. I just want to take a second to tell you how distraught I am. I was at the Bills 2 weeks ago. There was no corgi race then, but they did a corgi race for Monday Night Football. And I'm a little
what?
Yes,
a corgi race.
Little corgis with jerseys on, a little fluffy.
Dang,
they do them at the Falcons games, but you leave too early. Because you got to get back to the studio.
I usually leave at the 2 minute warning. Yeah.
So everyone does corgi races?
Everyone does. Not always. It's not like every week, but they do. We do have them at the Falcons games. In fact, my favorite thing at the corgi races, there's always that one dog that just goes rogue. And he's like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to win this race, but I'm not going to let you win this race either. And just takes out the other dog. That's always the best.
Why did they not do the corgi race?
Who comes up with these things, man?
Sunday night or Monday night football?
Yeah.
Because Sunday we had Arthur Blank honored in the Ring of Honor. He was
inducted
into the Ring of Honor.
Yes, that is more important, absolutely, than
it would have
dogs.
Been. I tell you what.
I don't know.
It would have been appropriate to have free hot dog night and have like a dog
corgi race.
Yeah, or maybe a wiener dog race.
I got a TV because of these airwaves. If somebody wants to give me a French bulldog,
no, they're overbred. For free. We'll have a discussion on
what
there. We'll
let
have
that
a
man live, Tiff.
Yeah, I love Frenchies.
French
they're
bulldog
so cute.
That needs love. All them dogs need love.
A lot of breathing problems.
Not sure.
We will discuss. We will discuss.
I'm not sure if I'm going to give a man who refuses to pay for a second TV a free dog because I'm not sure what you're going to.
I didn't need it.
What you're willing to pay for the dog? You got to keep up with these animals.
No,
I would love the dog and give it everything it needs.
Although Dylan did work at a vet's office.
Exactly. He's a vet tech.
I'm qualified.
You are qualified.
I think he just checked people in. I don't think he really
I helped in the back, too. I helped dogs get their nails cut. I helped with baths sometimes. I helped because I was one of the few males that worked there, and so I provide a lot of the muscle.
So you were a glorified groomer.
What? I'm just going to leave
in
all
in some
of
way,
this
shape,
alone.
Or form.
I don't know why you continue to hype this man up. Right?
Leave,
he just stings you every
of
chance
this
he
alone.
Gets.
I'm going to leave all this alone. And what we are going to do here is we're going to talk about... We're going to talk about the Falcons, okay? And how Raheem Morris talked to the media yesterday. Okay, with the defensive play, did you guys think that things kind of picked up for them in the second half of the game?
For the Chiefs?
No, for Falcons.
The Falcons. I thought the Falcons played phenomenally in the first half defensively. I thought the Falcons played good the entire game defensively. Yes, they gave up too many rushing yards. But when you hold Kansas City's offense to one explosive play through the air, that's phenomenal. When you hold Patrick Mahomes to 22 points, I think you've done your job. And you turned him over.
No, you have. Coach Morris, he assessed the play of the defense.
Play picked up. You know, we made some of the third downs a little bit longer, which is always helps. We're able to get after the passer a little bit better without the sacks. You're still able to hit him 8 times. I think we got hit 10 times. I think he got hit 8. I think they got 2 sacks. We had a wrap-up and a grounding. But it's like we were able to create some pressure. We were able to get him to longer situations. We stepped up and played a little bit better on defense in the second half without tackling, which was really critical. Early on, they threw a couple of screens out there and RPOs, things of that nature, got a lot of yards, and it makes it 2nd and 1. A couple of situations got into 3rd and short and 3rd and 3 in that window, 3rd and less. That's a tough life to live when you're playing Patrick Mahomes. And we got a little bit longer. We were able to get off the grass and really just gave ourselves and put ourselves in position to win.
I think the defense did play well, specifically in the first half. And you heard Raheem talk about some of the quick screens they tried to run early. I think we've got to be one of the better secondaries or perimeter defenses in the league at patrolling out there for the quick screens. But I don't know that we did a good enough job of keeping them off schedule. And you hear Raheem talking about that 3rd and 3 or less. That's a tough life to live against Patrick Mahomes, particularly when it doesn't seem like you can stop them from gaining 5 yards on the ground with your defensive front. So, I thought it mirrored a lot like I felt last week. I thought that last week, in particular, against the Eagles, I thought you played a great first half. I thought that you played a great first half against the Steelers. It just felt like at times during the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter, that you couldn't get off the field defensively. And I think that's where the sticking point will probably be for Jimmy Lake and company.
I actually think that's what he was referring to your point, is keeping them – I thought they did a better job in the second half keeping them off schedule And all, you know, that first drive where they don't even get the touchdown, it's interception. It was second and four a lot, or second and five, right? And that's ahead of schedule, honestly. If you can get 3 or 4 yards on first down, I think you're happy. Most offenses are happy with it. That's the one thing that we haven't done offensively is stay right on schedule and be on schedule early. We did against the Eagles, I felt like, at times. But against the Steelers and against the Chiefs. Also, can I just say this? This is not excuse making, and I know I'm kind of getting over here, but the Falcons have played in the first 3 weeks three of the best defenses they'll play all year. And I think that is safe to say, because the Steelers might be a top three defense in the league. The Chiefs, if you look at pressures and et cetera, they are the third best defense in the league. And then you go to the Eagles, and all they did was shut down at the time the best offense in the NFL in the Saints, and went into their home building and limited them to, what, 12 points.
Yeah, and I think just to piggyback on that a little bit, not only are you getting three of the best defenses in the league, you're getting three almost completely healthy defenses, because we are at the beginning of the season. It's not like we're getting down the stretch run and you're missing a safety or a starting corner or anything else. Like, these guys are reared back and ready to go to start the season. It makes me feel a little bit better. I wish we would have had a little more success. Obviously, I'd feel really good about it. But nonetheless, I'm just glad they're in the rearview mirror.
What about the time of possession on Sunday? Coach Morris was asked if the team prioritizes that or scoring points.
You know, when you're talking about that situation, you're talking about different factors, right? Minnesota's playing style of defense where they're getting the ball back a little bit more. They're doing some different things there, and they're able to score points. And, like, they're getting more chunk yardage plays or whatever the case may be, and you got to find a way to get those things. So it's all kind of stats you can throw up. Maybe it'd be helpful. You know, there is no one way to do it. There's no one way to go about your business. But you definitely know what you want to improve, right? You want to go out there and improve your third down conversion rate so that it will allow you to keep the ball a little bit longer, to play a little bit of the soccer game that we are capable of playing, particularly if we get our run game going, and we can make it look like it did a week ago when you can rush for the 150 type yardage as opposed to the 80s where you can stay on the grass and really be able to dictate terms on how you want to play football.
You know what I hear from him, Bo? What I hear from him was, I'd take either one right now, and we're not good enough offensively to focus on either. And I know that the question kind of is, hey, which one do you focus on? You know what I hear him saying? We're not explosive enough offensively to get behind the chains. So I'd love it if we would just simply convert on third down, keep more time of possession, and end in a touchdown.
Yeah, when I heard that, I go, well, don't you have to be good at one?
Right. You're not prioritizing either because you're not good at either.
Just to even be asked the question, you have to be good at one or the other. And you're 25th in scoring, which might have gone up maybe a little bit because you scored one more point than your average last week. You're literally hitting it 22% on third down, so you're clearly not possessing the ball because you're not converting third downs. I think there is explosiveness in this offense because your drives have been quick. Like, when you have scored touchdowns, they've been quick. You look at the one to win the game against Philly, it was quick. You look at the one to open the game on Sunday, it was a 4-minute drive. You went 70 yards. You look at the one where they scored in the second quarter, I believe, with Bijan touchdown, it was quick. You got 50 yards of it on one play. And so their touchdown scoring drives have been quick. Now, they did have a drive in the third, I think in the fourth quarter, where they go from what, their own like 6 or 7 yard line, and they get in and then they turn it over on downs. They got nothing out of it. So at that point, you possessed the ball, but you didn't score. They are not putting long drives together, and then they're not converting in other opportunities. They're not even putting short drives to flip the field together right now.
Yeah, no, and it's like I said, that's exactly what I'm kind of hearing in Raheem's comments right there. It's not like my mindset would be this, would be that. I think I hear him just saying, I'd take either one. I would take time of possession if we could put that together, and I'd take the points if we could put that together. He just doesn't sound like he thinks this offensive unit right now is to that point. And look, man, we can debate all day what should have been done or what shouldn't have been done last week. The bottom line is you just have to continue to get better moving forward. Like you said, we just played three of the best defenses in the NFL. And you have three of the biggest games of your season coming up right after that when you talk about these division games coming up. So one of those areas you need to grow in. And I think you could live with the other one. If you just start creating explosive plays and your time of possession doesn't go up, I think you're fine. I think you can grow from that On the flip side, if you can start possessing the ball for 35 minutes, I think if you're Raheem, it's like, you know what? I can take that too.
I also think when we talk about should he have kicked field goals, should he have not, is he too aggressive at going for it? I think if you start possessing the ball more and having long drives, you're more willing to take a 45-yard field goal or a 35-yard field goal or whatever on fourth and one because you're getting those opportunities and you're just stacking points now.
Let me flip that around on you and just ask you this. If he is presented with that same situation against the Saints, do you think he would do the same thing this weekend, given what he knows about how that played out and how your team's been in short yardage?
I don't think it had. I'm going to answer this question as honestly as I don't think it had anything to do with any of that on Sunday night. I think it had to do with who the other guy on the other side of the field was. And I think that I like my chances more with Derek, and this is not a personal Derek Carr. I actually one of the few guys in this business that think Derek Carr's a good quarterback. The reality is, he's not Patrick Mahomes. And I'd rather put the ball in Derek Carr's hands than it ever be in Patrick Mahomes' hands.
Braves-Mets, a preview of that matchup, and a strongly worded letter sent to one of the hard hitters in the NFL. We'll tell you what lies ahead for him next when we go in the huddle on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You all remember this song?
Yeah, it's Firestarter by Prodigy.
I just feel like, wasn't that music video really weird?
Yeah, back all their stuff was weird.
Yes.
They were a weird, kind of a weird band.
So you said the song is called Firestarter?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's labeled as Breathe.
Oh, this is Breathe. You're right. Firestarter is their other song.
Don't politely correct him.
I didn't know. I mean, I just picked a song and played it.
All Prodigy sounds the same to me. They had two hits.
I respect it.
Speaking of hits.
I bet Day-Day remembers Prodigy.
It's going to make a horrible transition. Talk baseball.
After I just screwed up Prodigy songs?
It's going to be really lame. That was a lame transition anyway. So Braves and Mets, the Mets in town to take on Atlanta tonight. That game, first pitch set for 7:20.
Yeah, Schwellenbach goes for us. Rookie, I'm gonna start calling him a sensation because I think he's been sensational this year. Going against Luis Severino, former Yankee, now pitching for the Mets. Look, Severino's already thrown two games. I don't care what he does as normal. You know, this guy wants to throw heat. He's got multiple pitches in the mid to high 90s, right? His cutter, his four-seam, and his sinker. This is a guy, though, that has pitched decently against you in two games this year. He's got 10 Ks in 10 innings and only given up four on runs. Now, he has given up 11 hits, but he's been able to get out of trouble. Some of that might be the Braves' struggles, Mike, at times this year to hit with runners in scoring position. I think you need to get to him early. I think they played a tough series against the Phillies. If you can get to him early, get in their bullpen, and maybe that would be a catalyst to take game one and hopefully get into their pen to where you know, you can kind of lean on that during this series.
Yeah, and Tiff, the honest conversation around this is we've been talking since freaking May about whether or not we should panic about the Braves, and even trickling into April, even though they were pretty good. And it's always been this team is flawed. They'll come around. The back of the baseball card doesn't lie. Eventually, these guys have to, you know, kind of revert to the mean. The statistics have to mean something. The pitching's been good. And all of that conversation just simply comes down to the next 3 days. And it's like we talked about yesterday just a little bit, Bo and myself. It's a playoff series. I mean, if you want to be in the playoffs, it starts right now. This is a playoff series, and the series against the Royals is a playoff series. It's as simple as that. This is the first round. We don't have to wait another week or 2 weeks or whatever it may be to get into that first round. This is the first round. If you want to be in the playoffs, it starts tonight.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, I think it was 2002, 1, 2, or 3. I can't remember one of those years. You had a similar instance, and I believe it might have even been the Mets. They had to come to town, and you had to beat them in a series to end the season to get into the playoffs that year, win the division. John Smoltz, who was on those teams and was a part of that magical Braves run back in the 90s, early 2000s, will join us at 8:20, and we'll talk about this series with him.
And Monday Night Football doubleheader. Let's get to the first matchup, and that was Washington against the Bengals. And Jaden Daniels leads them to a 38-33 victory. One of the biggest highlights, of course, was that incredible touchdown pass, a 27-yarder he made to receiver Terry McLaurin. And, I mean, it was perfect placement, perfect everything. Here's Jaden Daniels on that deep pass.
Yeah, cover zero and, you know, just give Terry a chance to go make a play.
Did he ask for that?
hey, he said, if you trust me, and that's what we did. I trusted him.
Yeah, you can learn a lot about a quarterback, guys, in cover zero. Like, you can learn a lot when you know that they walk up, and I think it was seven or eight guys. It seemed like at the line of scrimmage, I think they dropped maybe one. He knew he was going to get hit. All right, and as a rookie, being willing to kind of stand in there and try to deliver a nice dime ball down the field to win the game, I think says a lot about kind of his demeanor. Listen, you're going to make throws, you're going to miss throws. You're going to have good games, you're going to have bad games. It's all about being consistent. But I think the one thing I can take away above all else from Jaden Daniels last night was the grit he showed. When that team walks up and goes, dude, we are coming to hit you right now, stands in there, delivers a perfect throw, I think it says a lot about what he's going to be moving forward for that team.
That's been the one knock on him, honestly, coming out of the draft, was that he's his build, and then he takes too many shots because he's not afraid. The shot he took on that throw to McLaurin.
Yeah, he got rocked.
Dude. And he did not, and that was the perfect play because it was executed all the way around on both sides. I mean, the defender was there just a tick too late. But the fact that he didn't short arm that throw, that stood in there long enough to take it, and he got right back up. He is the best rookie quarterback after 3 weeks. Will he be at the end of their careers? I don't know. But there's only one rookie quarterback right now you should be talking about, and it's him.
And by the way, this all comes after he did not throw a single touchdown pass in his first two NFL games.
His first was to a big man, too. First time since 2005.
You got to love that. I was going to say, nor did any of the other rookie quarterbacks either. So they finally all got off the schneid this weekend.
That's right.
Yeah. On to the second part of the doubleheader of Monday Night Football, and that was the Jags at the Bills, and they got steamrolled in this one, 47-10 by the Bills. And so a highlight, of course, in that game was DeMar Hamlin, who recorded his first interception and his first Monday Night start since he suffered cardiac arrest, as we all can remember, back in, I believe, late January of last year. So incredible story, incredible comeback. Got to be there for his first game, his first start of the season. And he talked a lot about just wanting to get back to some sense of normalcy, kind of just being a football player, grateful that he made such a significant impact. When you see defibrillators, like in donating, all of that stuff, and making bringing more awareness to how to save someone from cardiac arrest. But anyway, I just rambled there. Great to see him doing that.
I think it's important stuff that you said. It's cool this year because I felt like last year he was there, but he was inactive a lot. He wasn't getting a lot of playing time. This year he is a contributor on that team.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really cool to see. It took him a year, but he's back and might be honestly playing better than he was when he got injured so far this season.
Yeah, no, I think it's such a cool story, too, and kind of flows right into what else we want to talk about. Just that it was a bad throw. So
the Jags just completely blown out on this one. Again, 47-10. They fall to 0-3 on the season, and it has Coach Doug Peterson saying this: there has to be changes, whether it's play design, personnel, everything is on the table. Those are all things I have to look at. We have to look at as a staff and make adjustments.
Yeah, it's and this to me goes right back to that interception you were talking about, Tiff. The Trevor Lawrence throw completely airmails the ball, and you know, kind of just finds DeMar Hamlin. It was a good catch by him because he wasn't expecting it to be on him. He was expecting to kind of step up and make a tackle, and yet the ball just kind of hits him right in the hands, and he gets up and attempts to run it back. Trevor Lawrence has been bad, man. There's no two ways to slice it, and I think there's a reason you brought in a guy like Mac Jones to try to be able to elevate that entire room. Mac Jones, say what you want to about him, he started NFL games and has had some level of success going back to his rookie year. You bring him in, but then you put him in last night. He fumbles on the first play. It's just an ugly, ugly deal right down there in Jacksonville with a team that really expected to make a lot more noise than that. But you get absolutely routed in prime time by a team in Buffalo that just looks extremely good to this point.
Also, this two more stories to get to. This was coming from Jordan Schultz, and it was an update on Caleb McGarry, Falcons right tackle, who left Sunday night's game with a knee injury that he is considered day-to-day after undergoing further testing. So in Jordan Schultz's words, a sigh of relief for Atlanta.
Yeah, the Caleb McGarry news is good because I think there's a chance. Like, I think he misses this week. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think if, depending on how he feels during the week, it might not be a terrible move to sit him. Here's why. Guys, you play Thursday, too. So you're going to play Sunday, and you're going to turn around and play maybe a better front in Tampa Bay on a Thursday night game on short rest. It might be one of those situations. Now, I don't know. It depends on how he feels, Mike. Right? But it might be one of those deals where you do that, and you're also going to be missing Drew Dahman most likely this week.
Yeah, you'd probably be missing both of them if I had to guess. I think that's probably a good educated guess. Brandon Parker, who they signed just a couple of weeks ago, would then slot in as the swing tackle. Storm Norton would get to start at right tackle. But I think no matter how you slice it, if this is a team that wants to improve in the run game and be more consistent, it stinks. All right, and so hopefully Storm Norton can fill in and fill that role. I think McGarry, to your point, I think he's got to be out this week. But with Thursday on the horizon, it's more important than ever to make sure you're getting some rest.
And this from Adam Schefter. Chargers safety Derwin James is going to be suspended one game for repeated violations of playing rules intended to protect the health and safety of players. And this, of course, is stemming from their game Sunday against the Steelers. In a letter to Derwin James, NFL Vice President of Football Operations John Runyon said this: during the third quarter of Sunday's Chargers-Steelers game, you were involved in a play that the league considers a serious violation of playing rules. The video of the play shows that you lowered your head and made forcible contact to Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth. You had an obstructed path to your opponent, and the illegal contact could have been avoided. It went on further, but again, he will now not be back to return until Monday, September 30th, to the active roster, so he will miss their game on September 29th against the Chiefs.
John Runyon sounded angry in that letter. I saw the play. It didn't look like anything crazy, but Derwin James just has a history of laying those thunderous hits. I mean, he's been that way since college, since at Florida State. So I guess they're trying to send a message, but that particular play just didn't stand out that much to me.
Well, it was more of a targeting type play than I've seen called in some college games this year. He did lead with his helmet. I just think you're right. I think this is a repeat offender thing, and they're sick of it. And they're out to say, hey, we're done. We're sick. We're over this. You know, shape up, or he might be. I don't know what could happen, because it sounded like they were threatening him.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, last, and clean. What you got for Mike Duff?
Well, Tiff, it's normally what you would call a top five Tuesday, but today we pivot. We're going to do something called Trivia Tuesday today. It's you versus Bo.
Why do you sign me up for these games?
Yes, because it's good. Because it's good. All right, you're not going to want to miss this on the other side. I promise you. Mic'd up, Sports Radio 920. It's not Top 5 Tuesday. It's Trivia Tuesday. You guys are going to love this. All right, are going to love this. You're going to love it, Tiff. Participation is key. Also, before I start, I know my guy Brett from Level Lawns is listening. My seeds, my fescue seeds in my backyard starting to sprout. Man, the kids will be playing soccer on it before you know it. So shout out to Brett from Level Lawns.
Can I say one thing?
Go ahead. Seed
this
my
is
yard?
Like what my dad would say about training camp. It's voluntary, mandatory.
Well, training camp is about. Mandatory.
That's what these
I don't know if you I don't know if you knew that. Training camp is mandatory.
No, but he called not training camp.
OTAs.
Sure. OTAs.
Okay, that, if that's where the route you want to go.
Voluntary.
Here's what we're going to do. All right, pay attention here. Pay attention. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you a question. Whoever wants to answer, this is going to be multiple choice. All right, so it's nothing crazy. Whoever wants to answer it raises their hand. Day-Day's going to have his eyes on y'all's hands to see which one goes up first. All right, here's how the scoring is going to work.
Can we just say our
if
names,
you get the right answer, no, because I don't want you to cut me off. If you get the right answer, you get 3 points. If you get the wrong answer, you're minus 1 point. All right, right answer, 3 point. Wrong answer, minus 1 point. Are we ready to play? All right, raise your hand if you know the answer.
What the heck?
Yes. All right. We're going to start with a little bit of NFL. I'm going to lower my voice right down here. The NFL leader in rushing yards has 351 rushing yards. 351. Is that person A, Saquon Barkley, B, Jordan Mason, C, Alvin Kamara, or D, Derrick Henry? The NFL leader in rushing yards has 351. Bo has now raised his hand. Bo, for 3 points.
Is it Saquon Barkley?
It is Saquon Barkley. That's 3 points for Bo. Nice work. Nice work. Tiff is just hoping that he'd get minus one. She'd just stick right there. Okay, how about this one? Parenting. What age do most children say their first words? At what age do most children say their first words? Is it A, 2 to 6 months old? B, 6 to 10 months old? C, 10 to 14 months old? Or D, 14 to 18 months old? Tiffany has her hand up.
What was the B option?
B was 6 to 10 months old.
Yeah, that one. What the heck?
Tiffany is not correct. Bo, can he swoop in and save the day?
Well, is it C, 10 to 14?
It is C, 10
Those
to 14.
Those kids are not smart. Those kids, I'm serious.
I enjoyed that so much better than I thought I would. You're just talking, we're literally talking about a world average, and you're just talking about
it's
those
not.
Kids aren't
smart.
So half the world are idiots.
And literally, you're part
Blackman.
Of this.
Well,
you're part of this equation.
Up. They need to catch up.
Literally, you're
I'm
part of this
ask
equation.
I'm going to ask my mom. I bet I was in that first, second
month. Can't wait till she says you were like 14 to 18 right. months or something.
Here's one for you, all right?
Hate this
question
game.
Number three. Who is the Braves leader in stolen bases? The Braves leader in stolen bases. Is it A?
Are you Googling things?
Is it A? You better not be looking on that.
Look, my
all right,
my email's up.
Close the laptop.
I mean.
Is it A, Ronald Acuna? Is it B, Michael Harris? Is it C, Jared Kelnick? Or is it D, Ramon Laureano?
Wait a minute.
She's on her phone. She's on
Put
her
your
phone.
Phone's down.
I'm going to go with Jared Kelnick. Oh, I lost one point.
This season, or are we talking lifetime?
Talking I mean, this season, Tiff.
Oh.
Braves
Let's just
this
go
season.
With Ronald Acuna, sure. Yeah, I'm back in the game.
You Googled it.
No, I didn't.
Take
no,
her,
no,
take
I
her
don't.
Phone
I didn't.
Away.
I didn't Google him. There was a man named.
Somehow, Ronald Acuna is still leading the Braves with 16 stolen bases.
I didn't Google that one.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. How about this
what
one?
Do I have 2 points?
Yes, you have 2 points to Bo's five. So you're in the ballpark.
Wait, how did he get five?
Well, he had a wrong answer, but he had two right. So it's 3-3 in the last one.
Oh,
yeah, just simple math. That's all right.
The other question.
Bijan Robinson, through three games, has 196 yards rushing. Through three games last year, he had A, 164, B, 190, C, 210, or D, 234. Bijan has 196 yards through three games. Through three games last year, he had A, 164, B, 190, C, 210, or D, 234. Tiffany.
Let's just go with A.
Tiff.
Wait, I'm participating.
Bo, would you like to take a swing at this?
Sorry. Yeah, I'll go with B.
I know it's going to be my other option. Oh, okay, wrong too.
All right, there you go. All's fair. All right, how about this one? I was for
Were you
two.
Not going to say the right answer?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's C210. C210.
Right. So the score is 4-1.
Yes, it is. All right, the state flower of Georgia. The state flower of Georgia is A, the Sweet Bay Magnolia, B, the Cherokee Rose, C, the Pink Azalea, or D, the Oak Leaf Hydrangea. The state flower of Georgia.
I'm going to go with the Cherokee one.
Ding. Attaboy, the Cherokee Rose. Leading the NFL in passing attempts with 122, A, Bo Nix, B, Deshaun Watson, C, Caleb Williams, D, Dak Prescott. Leading the NFL in passing attempts with 122, Bo.
I'm going to go with Dak Prescott. They've been down a lot.
How many hot dogs are typically sold in Mercedes-Benz Stadium? They gave away 100,000 of them this past weekend. Is it A, 10 to 12,000, B, 13 to 15,000, C, 16 to 18,000, or D, more than 18,000? How many hot dogs are typically sold in Mercedes-Benz Stadium? A, 10 to 12, B, 13 to 15,000, C, 16 to 18, D, more than 18,000.
Someone just
text
you from Mercedes-Benz?
No, I got, yes. Someone just text me just now from Mercedes-Benz and gave me exact amount of hot dogs they serve.
Would anybody like to take a guess? All right, now how about this? I'll take off the minus one. Would anybody like to take a guess?
I'll go with D.
Completely wrong. D. Tiff, would you like to take a guess? There's no skin on the line.
Sure. I'll go with, let's say, I bet it's probably C, but I want to say B. So I'm going to say B and be wrong.
It's actually A, 10 to 12,000.
All right. Well.
Samuel L. Jackson was in the house this past weekend at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Now, he made a comment that actually kind of triggered this in my mind. I'll explain in 1 minute. Is Samuel L. Jackson, A, 65 years old?
That he slapped someone that made
B,
him play games?
B, 68 years old. C, 72 years old, or D, 75 years old. 65, 68, 72, or 75?
Let's go 68.
Wrong. What the hell? I'll say 72.
He's 65, I bet. What? It's not 75?
He is 75.
No way.
Years old. He said on the Jumbotron at the Halo board that he was in college when the Atlanta Falcons was actually founded, which makes him 75 years old. Well, Bo didn't get it right either. So
I was getting a refill.
Let's finish with this one.
What?
Other than Aaron Rodgers, what starter in week three, what starting quarterback in week three has the most career victories? What starter in week three, other than Aaron Rodgers, has the most career victories? Is it A, Matt Stafford, B, Patrick Mahomes, C, Andy Dalton, or D, Kirk Cousins?
Ooh.
A, Matt Stafford, B, Pat Mahomes, C, Andy Dalton, D, Kirk Cousins.
Pat Mahomes passed people that have played longer than Dalton. Him. All right, then let's go Pat Mahomes.
The correct answer is actually A, Matthew Stafford.
Oh, nice.
99 wins for Matthew Stafford.
So I won that? 8-1?
Yes, yeah, so I think it was actually 1. It actually is negative 1. You're right. Yeah. Anyways. Good luck next time, Tiff.
That was too easy. I just started guessing at the end because I didn't have any. There's no risk.
I can't be required to play games when I'm not at full strength. I'm not at full capacity.
This man's got his hood up. He swears he ain't at full strength right now.
Do the show. That's all. That's where my focus lies.
What do you
mean
full capacity?
That's where my focus lies, is doing the show. My brain can't be stressed in multiple different ways and having to choose multiple choice answers.
Let me fix this for you. Tiffany can't be asked to go against me in a battle of intelligence and wits because she's going to lose every time.
Is that what you want to go with?
Well, that's what I'm garnering out of it because destroyed you.
She said she's I'll not at full strength. Look, I don't know what that means.
She's never at full strength going against me.
Bo, I do want to say this. You actually got told the answer to one of these questions during Sunday during the broadcast because Greg Beatles actually told Wes and Arch the answer to the hot dog question.
I don't want to give how the sausage is made. Yeah. But I don't have a headset on during that segment because Greg Beatles is using my headset.
Right. That's true.
We got a wake-up call coming up. You can call us 404-726-0929. That's next in the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.